Today we are observing a significant moment in the story of salvation, in the story of redemptive history. That is the celebration of the baptism of Jesus Christ, the baptism of our Lord. And it's part of the bigger celebration picture of the church's year in Epiphany, where we recognize just who is this Jesus? We ask the question, who is Jesus? And we try to answer that question. That's what Epiphany is all about. It's the, oh, now I get it. That's kind of what Epiphany means. And we begin this Epiphany season by right out of the gate looking at the baptism of Jesus himself. Now, week in and week out, I have the joy and the privilege of looking straight down the aisle, and at the back of the aisle, or the front of the aisle, as you might say, is a big chunk of stone. It's called a font. That's the fancy word for it. But behind the font, that sort of overshadows it, if you have the line of sight that I do, you see our central stained glass window in the narthex. And it's the baptism of Jesus. And if you walk into the narthex, you might think, well, why is that window of all windows right in the middle like that? And the reason is because it provides a direct line of sight backdrop to our baptismal font, so that when we bring people to be baptized, what is standing over and above and behind and informing and guiding the baptismal act that we're engaging in? It's visibly expressed to us in the baptism of Jesus himself. Now, interestingly enough, turning the other direction in the church, when we come to the Lord's table to receive bread and wine, his body and blood, what inescapable visual reality serves as the backdrop of that sacramental aspect of the life of the church? The cross. That's the big red thing up there. You're with me. So, that's an incredibly wonderful visual aid that our building provides, that when we are baptized following the command of Christ, right? Why do we baptize people? Have you ever wondered that? Because we have always done it, right? That's the bumper sticker of the Episcopal Church. But that just because we've always done it that way, that's not why we do it. We do it, okay, because Jesus commanded us to, right? The mission of the church has been, will be, and has always been to go and make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and teach them all that Christ commanded, right? That's A, that's number one. B, because he himself was baptized and we follow his example. You know, Jesus never commands his people to do anything that he himself hasn't already done. Think about that. If you will be my disciple, you must take up your cross and deny yourself and follow me. All right, Jesus took up his cross for you and for me. And he calls us to come and to be crucified with him. And in fact, that's what baptism signifies, doesn't it? Burial with Christ, being crucified and dying with him and sharing in that death, but also then sharing in his resurrection and sharing in that life. And so the baptism of Jesus sets the commandments of the New Testament up very powerfully. Now, when Jesus was baptized, there's a lot going on, and I want to unpack that, but I want to share with you, this is the overarching, my point for today, is it matters who you are baptized into. Who you are baptized into matters. Okay? Now, when Jesus was baptized, he wasn't baptized into himself. Okay? I'm going to unpack that. But who baptized him? He didn't baptize himself, instead. He was baptized by John the Baptist. Now, you got to love John, right? Like, crazy guy. You know, there's few people in the Bible that I would love to sit down and have a cup of coffee with, or in this case, a cup of honey. And remember, John ate locusts and wild honey. That was his diet. And it was a good thing he spent a lot of time in a river, because he probably didn't bathe very often, because there's nowhere to bathe when you're out in the middle of the desert eating locusts and wild honey. Right? It's sort of, imagine crazy hair, and he's out there saying, "Repent!" And everybody comes out to John for a baptism of preparation, a baptism of repentance. And if you remember, I said a couple weeks ago that the Pharisees and the leaders in Jerusalem sent emissaries out to check up on him. Why? Because they thought he was starting a rebellion, or that he might have been. And what's the first thing they ask him? "Do you think you're the Messiah? Are you out here baptizing to raise up an army?" Right, that's the implication. And his immediate answer is, "Nope." "Oh, well, are you the Elijah?" "Nope." "Well, are you the prophet?" "Nope." "What are you then?" Right, you can almost sense their frustration. And he says, "I am the voice of the one in the wilderness crying, 'Prepare the way of the Lord. In the desert, make straight a highway for our God.'" That's who I am, John says. So his baptism is a baptism of preparation. And then when Jesus comes along, it's really remarkable. He comes along, he's baptized by John. And if you read in the other gospel accounts of this baptism, what does John say to him? He says, "Shouldn't this be the other way around? Shouldn't you be baptizing me? Because it matters who you're baptized into." And so what's Jesus' response? He says, "No, let it be so, that all righteousness may be fulfilled." What does he mean by that? He means that Jesus' ministry, his saving work to redeem sinners before a just and holy God, is not something, an activity that just springs out of nothing. There's a long and rich and bloody and beautiful story leading up to this, all of which points to Christ. And it is that old covenant that blesses and baptizes and inaugurates the ministry and work of Christ in the new covenant. That there is continuity in God's saving work, not discontinuity. So when Jesus later will say about John, he says, "There is no one born of woman who is greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Thank you, Jesus. Could you be more mysterious? What did he mean by that? That John is the last marker, the last voice of the old covenant. At the changing of the eras. Because now the work, the saving work of the Messiah, is about to be unleashed. And so John, being that final witness, baptizes Jesus and begins his ministry of redemption in and among Israel and ultimately to the rest of the world. So it matters, your baptism. And Jesus took it seriously. And so should we. Now, John also tells us that he baptized with water, but there is one coming who is greater than he, the shoes of whom he's not even worthy to untie. And that person will baptize you with what? The Holy Spirit. To be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, there are a few things that will terrify an Episcopalian more than the Holy Spirit. It's in our heritage. Our church has a long, sad history of showing the Holy Spirit the door. There's an incredible moment. Do you all know John Wesley? You've heard of him. He's kind of well-known. And he and his brother preached a lot in England. He was actually an ordained minister in the Church of England. And he founded what we call today the Methodist Church. And he traveled on horseback almost a quarter of a million miles all over England, preaching and preaching and preaching some more. And he talked a lot about the Holy Spirit. And the Church of England couldn't handle it. They freaked. And my mom grew up in Bristol, and I've been to Bristol Cathedral a number of times, and there's this story of the Bishop of Bristol, a guy named Joseph Butler, who literally walks out of the cathedral and boots Wesley off the cathedral garden, like the front lawn, saying to him, "This business of the Holy Spirit is a most unsettling business indeed." But you see, it matters who you're baptized into. And Jesus comes and he baptizes us with fire and the Holy Spirit. That matters. And we ask ourselves, as the church, church corporate and church individual believers, where in our baptized life is the work and power of the Spirit with which we were baptized into Christ? Is that something that excites us? Does it make us curious? Man, I don't like the believers in Ephesus. We never even heard of the Holy Spirit. Does it terrify you? Does it freak you out? It should be a little bit of all. So it matters in our baptism that we understand what it means to be baptized by the Holy Spirit and made alive with Jesus Christ by His Spirit. What does it mean to really be alive and to be the church and light and salt in the world? Because that flows from our baptism, because we are baptized into the Son of God. One more thing to say, and then we're going to wrap things up. In our New Testament lesson, we find the Apostle Paul traveling through the interior. What that's referring to is the interior of Asia Minor, what we would call today Turkey. And he makes his way across the inland roads to a huge city on the coast called Ephesus. And lo and behold, he finds already there a group of people that are identified as disciples. And he's talking to them, and he finds, "Well, who were you baptized into?" He's like, and they're like, "Well, we've never heard of the Holy Spirit. We were baptized into John." Now, let's think about that for a minute. Now, the Bible doesn't explicitly tell us this, but I'm going to go out on what I think is a fairly secure limb and say, I don't think John the Baptist went on a grand Mediterranean baptizing tour of 30 A.D., right? He's like, "I need a team of people to find every major river between here and Rome, and we're going to go and baptize everywhere." He could have done that. I don't think he did. Would you agree? Maybe. That his activity, his ministry, was right there on the Jordan, near Jerusalem. So how is it that this group of folks in Ephesus, of all places, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles away, were baptized by John? Think about that for a second. Either they heard something wild and crazy was going on at the Jordan in Jerusalem and wanted to go check it out, or they were already in Jerusalem for something else and heard and saw what was going on. They're like, "We got to get this done. What do you say, guys? Let's go get wet." That's vernacular. So they were baptized into John, and then what happened? They went back to Ephesus and were like, "Now what? What's next?" You see, it matters who you're baptized into. They were baptized into John. And so that meant that they had to wait and repent and prepare. And then all of a sudden, one day, along comes this guy named Paul. And what does Paul tell them? He says, "The one that you were baptized by John to prepare for has come. His name is Jesus Christ. And he's come to baptize you with the Holy Spirit." What's that? Well, let me tell you. And we're going to baptize you into Christ. And you are going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because it matters who you're baptized into. So as we look at ourselves and the world around us, the world wants us to be baptized into all kinds of stuff. In the ancient world, people were often baptized with blood, where you would literally stand in a pit underneath a bull or an ox, and they would slice it, and you would take a shower in its blood. because the pagan gods wanted you to be baptized into them. You'd be enslaved to them. But Jesus has come to free us. He has come to die that we might be baptized into him and be free, not enslaved to the powers of this world. Now, there may not be people running around saying, "Hail Beelzebub! Yay, Molech!" But those forces are still around. They wear much more clever disguises than they did in the ancient world. So it matters who you're baptized into, because all authority has been given to Jesus Christ. We have not been baptized into football. Is it a devout Steelers fan? They're not my Lord. I am baptized into Jesus Christ. I am not baptized into America. I am not filled with the baptism of patriotism. I'm not knocking America. Don't get me wrong. But we're baptized into Christ, not George Washington. As a church, we must understand that. Because if this country is going to have any salt and light in it, the church has got to be the church and be baptized into Christ and understand that and embrace it and then get out there and share it. Okay? We're not baptized into tax shelters, into national health care. We're not baptized into any of those things. We're not baptized into any other power. But we are baptized into Jesus Christ, who loves us and gave his life for us, so that all claims upon you, all authorities that try to knock you down and claim your allegiance, fall short, because you are baptized into Jesus Christ. Paul says, so stand firm, therefore. Stand firm in the power of the Spirit and the armor of the Lord. Resist those authorities that take away from your life and force you to serve them. Be baptized into Jesus Christ, into life and into freedom. Go and make disciples to share in that life in Christ. That's the church's mission. That's the church's life, because it does matter who we are baptized into. Amen.